KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, Greg Skordis, KSL's legal analyst. And we have a legal matter that we're talking about in the press today. And that is that the United States Supreme Court heard arguments today regarding the drug and the regulation of the drug, mifepristone, a pill that is used for abortion purposes. And we'll sort of break that down a little bit here. But it's something that, you know, we've had so much going on with the Supreme Court and with our states after the Dobbs decision. That's been, 2.5, 3 years, different states trying to decide what they want to do. And now we're getting into the real early stages, talking about mifepristone. To help us break that down, we have Andy Field, ABC News correspondent, who was with us for the last segment. Andy, thank you for staying with us.
Sure. Yeah, this is an important story because, as you mentioned, ever since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade and threw everything back into the states' laps, we've been getting a whole rash of court cases like this that ended up back in the Supreme Court. This one in particular is a bit of a unicorn because, as Justice Kagan asked one of the lawyers who were arguing that the FDA overstepped its bounds, she said to that lawyer, to the government's knowledge, is this the first time, is it the only time any court has restricted access to the FDA to an FDA-approved drug by second-guessing the FDA's expert judgment about conditions required to use the drug safely? And the government answered, to our knowledge, it's the only time any court's done that. So that's why this is a bit of a unicorn case. And from what, you know, if you want to read the tea leaves in the Supreme Court when you listen to and watch the case. And one of the nice things now is that anyone can listen to the arguments. It used to be that sometimes they let these tapes out a long time later. Now you can listen to this live. And it seemed like most of the justices on the court, including the most conservative justices, seemed highly skeptical that the anti-abortion drugs that said the FDA overstepped its bounds even had any right to be there to argue this case, that there was no harm done to them. And that's where we are with the case right now. And that was what most of the arguments were, not about whether we should use it, whether abortion's legal or not legal. It's whether these doctors really had any business bringing this lawsuit in the first place.
Interesting. So what we're talking about, Andy, is a challenge to the FDA's regulation of mifepristone. That is the FDA. And I know that that regulation has sort of changed over the years. I think they've dialed it back a little bit. But at its core, that's what we're talking about here, right?
Right. Here's the issue. In 2016 and then in 2021, the FDA expanded the allowable use of mifepristone, and this is the actual abortion drug. It's very different from the morning after pill. Mifepristone actually initiates a chemical abortion in a woman who's already pregnant. They allowed it now up to 10 weeks. Before it was just 7 weeks. They reduced the recommended dose and how many times you had to have in-person doctor visits. They let nurse practitioners as well as physicians prescribe it, and they permitted distribution by mail. Now, these doctors say all of those things that the FDA allowed has made their life as doctors much more difficult because they're getting called into emergency rooms to deal with complications and an abortion that didn't complete, and then they, against their philosophies, have to complete this abortion, which they say they're conscientious objectors and they shouldn't have to perform these procedures. Well, the government's arguing that it is so rare that any time there's a complication here, that there are plenty of other doctors that can do this and they don't have to be the ones to do these things. So they really have no case to argue that they're not being harmed by this. Again, it's a weird case because a lot of people listening to this were saying, well, you know, is the abortion drug legal or not? Are they going to ban it? And this case really isn't about that. It's about whether other doctors have to clean up a problem caused by a drug that they say the FDA is being too lenient in letting out there in the world.
So is it kind of a standing issue, Andy? Was it
absolutely
maybe these judges?
It's absolutely that
these judges don't necessarily have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, which kind of begs the question: how did it get to the Supreme Court in the first place?
Yeah, well, because you use the A word, abortion, and everybody wants to get up to the Supreme Court as soon as they can. It seemed like there was a lot of, like you described, I mean, just looking at some of the people that were listening to the arguments, the Supreme Court seemed very skeptical of this argument made by these doctors for the reasons you've articulated here. And it was across the board, right? There were not just the liberal justices, but there were some conservative ones that were also.
Well, two of the conservative justices, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett, seemed very leery of reinstating any sweeping bans on the drug nationwide when only a handful of doctors were claiming they were hurt. Gorsuch said, quote, "The case seems like a prime example of turning what should be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule or any other federal government action." So, you know, Gorsuch is not big on overreach here, and he thinks that that's exactly what they're doing. So, you know, I think Justice Alito and Clarence Thomas seem to be most interested in the abortion doctor side, but if that's the case, that's two against the entire Supreme Court, and it's likely that this is not going to go in the plaintiff's direction. And basically, you know, again, if we're placing odds in Las Vegas, everyone seems to think that this is not going to have any effect on the abortion pill whatsoever.
I understand also, Andy, that when the FDA relaxed its regulations on this particular drug, that it's now available in the mail. I mean, was that at all part of the argument today that maybe the FDA's
gone way too far? Right. Yeah. It's just that the anti-abortion doctors are saying that there's just too much of a liberal use of this thing, that a doctor can prescribe it over the mail, just have a cursory interview with a patient over the phone or telehealth, and then they just get it mailed to them and they can perform the abortion themselves. By the way, more than half of all abortions in this country are now done with this abortion pill.
Yeah, that's what's surprising to me. And you say, Andy, that the drug originally started out as something that had to be used or was prescribed to be used within the first 7 weeks. Now it's been, I guess, pursuant to the FDA's—
Up to 10 weeks.
So states that, and I'm not asking you to dig deep into the legal arguments here, but states that allow abortion within the first 10 weeks, this would be a pill that would be legal in those states.
Arguably. It would, and there's arguments that, you know, the states that have put 6-week abortion bans in there, that's where they're having big fights as well. This is not the only case going, but it's the big one that's gotten to us right now. Interestingly enough, there is a law on the books that bans distributing abortion efficients, abortion pills, by mail. It's called the Comstock Act. It's a 1873 federal law that banned distributing abortion pills by mail. It's rarely been invoked, but it's still in force. And Justice Thomas says, well, this law seems to be applying in your case here. It's unlikely the other justices are going to agree with that, but it's interesting that there is a federal law in the book that actually bans that distribution by mail.
1873, maybe we were distributing by Pony Express. I mean, the mail.
I'm not sure what they used in 1873.
I was going to say, well, who
all
knows what
things?
It was.
I mean, what did they use?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andy, for joining us this evening on KSL at Night. You're always great to help us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Greg, thanks.
After the break, let's go to Idaho and talk about a trial that's starting next week involving Chad Daybell and how that's different than the Lori Daybell-Vallow trial just a year ago. Stay with us.